welcome to the SPS Digital Learning Hour, brought to you by the Digital Learning and Assessment Department. We're coming to you today from our office, bringing you the latest news in Springfield Public Schools in regards to technology, along with inspiring interviews from teachers. We are excited to be with you today. I'm your host, Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy. You can find me out on all the socials at Bearded Tech Ed, my personal website, beardedtechedguy.com, our district blog site, We Learn, on the MySPS page, and all around, because I'm just everywhere. So we thank you for your time and taking to listen to us today. We've got an exciting interview coming up with Catherine Murphy from Talmadge. I'm sure that you'll be inspired, as she is a kindergarten teacher who is able to thrive during this time of remote learning. But before we get to that, we just have a few news and announcements. If you haven't been reading all your emails, or if you haven't logged out to the MySPS main page, there is a bunch of messages all about being registered to get your vaccine, and messages from Superintendent Warwick, upgrades to the ventilation system. So if you're interested to know what the district has done, there is a link there for you to learn more about it, along with our plan for return. And also, in the past, we've had to do GCN training, and that has shifted to Safe Schools. I highly encourage you to log in and check it out. I've done a few of mine already, and I'll tell you what, they are time-consuming, or at least the ones that I've done so far have taken up quite a bit of time. So make sure that you have time, because it does need to be done before the end of the school year. So with that in mind, and all these things, there's so many different things going out there. I want to remind you just to keep up on the news and announcements on the MySPS page for the latest. So now, the part that I'm super excited about is bringing this interview with Catherine Murphy from Talmadge Elementary. She's a kindergarten teacher doing some awesome things with kindergartners during this remote time. And me, always being a fifth grade teacher, it was really great to hear how a kindergarten teacher would approach using technology, not just in the classroom pre-COVID, but how she's using it during this remote time. It makes me excited for these students and for the learning that has happened this year. So check out this interview.
Sure. Thank you for having me. My name is Catherine Murphy. I am a kindergarten teacher at Talmadge Elementary School, and this will be my third year teaching there.
Have you been teaching the same grade?
Yes, I have. Kindergarten from the beginning, and I hope that it's always kindergarten.
Well, bless you. I taught fifth grade. I can't imagine teaching kindergarten. So pre-COVID, what were some of the things that you would do in the classroom that you found really successful?
Kindergarten is just a year of magic, and I cannot be convinced otherwise. It's just, for a lot of students, it is their first school experience, and even for students who have been to pre-K, it's still, there's just something so transformative about kindergarten. So a lot of the learning that we would do would be hands-on centers, very exploratory. So obviously COVID has put a little kink in that, but definitely, when you walked into my classroom, it was never quiet, ever. The door was shut, not because we didn't want people in, but because we certainly were causing quite a ruckus. But I think that you would find when you open the door and brave enough to come on in, you'd hear a lot of learning happening, a lot of language, fun, just the love of learning you can see in a kindergarten classroom, I do believe.
That's fantastic. So in thinking of that time, and you said a lot of hands-on things that you would do, what kind of technology tools did you use in the classroom at that time?
So we did use the laptops for purposes really only for iReady and for Scholastic Literacy Pro. Those were the two main, or really the only things that we used the laptops for. I think that we used most of the technology, most of the technology lessons that we did were with the BeeBots or with OzoBots, which we had a lot of fun. Again, yes, it's technology, but it's hands-on. The students had their math, they were practicing their high-frequency words, their addition using the technology of the little robots. So that is something that I definitely do miss. And I'll be sad when we get to that point this year and I look back on my plans and see that that's what we were doing, because I have yet to figure out how to make that a part of remote. But I'm sure that there's a way and that some fantastic teacher out there has figured something out.
So it sounds like, are you a part of the CS for All grant? All right, so that's why you've got, I'm like, BeBots, Ozobots. Yes, this has to be a classroom using the grant. How has that experience been?
It's been really great. I just knew it's new to the students. It's new to me, and it's just exciting when there's something new. We could practice our high-frequency words by doing a center that we've done with stamps, which is fun and hands-on and awesome, or we could do it with robots. So of course that is what they're choosing to do. And I have found that these five-year-olds know way more about technology than I ever have. And even in the remote world, I'm seeing that as well. I was definitely somebody who in the beginning of all of this, or even before pre-COVID, you're like, oh, should we do that? They're kind of young. Can they handle it? And I absolutely underestimated them. They can handle so much more than we think.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's awesome. It sounds like you were doing a lot of great things in person. Take us back to March when the district went from a 4-day school week to a PD day to completely shut down all within the span of 7 days. Can you take us back to that time and how you helped your students and your other colleagues adjust to being remote?
It was quite an adjustment, and to say that we did it perfectly just wouldn't be true. Of course, I think for all grade levels, that is just a sad realization. I truly thought, okay, guys, I'll see you on Monday, because I remember we had that PD day. So it was Thursday. So we went through our ritual. We were saying goodbye. I'll see you on Monday. And I believed that. And then when we had the 2 weeks off, it was like, okay, I'll see them soon. Like, we'll be able to finish this year. They'll get to have their graduation. And there's so much learning that happens, especially at the end of kindergarten. It's like, we'll still be able to do that just a week later, a week more. But then it became more clear that that was probably not going to happen. And honestly, that was very difficult for me, because I'm thinking, I rely on going to school. I love going to school. I love my job. I love my kids. How am I supposed to do this remote? How are they supposed to learn remote? Like, I can make videos, I'll do whatever I need to do, but are they going to be benefiting it? So I think that there was a lot of thinking on my part, just thinking about, is this productive? How can I make it more interactive? I don't want them just to watch me. I know I thought a lot about how I've taken classes online before and how I did not necessarily love them, or that I would definitely do the in-person one given the chance. So that I had a lot of that baggage, and that definitely impacted how effective I thought this could be. So I think when I think back to that time, I was thinking a lot, maybe too much. But what we ended up doing was we used Class Dojo, which was great in the way that families so quickly joined. And I really cannot shout parents out enough, both in last year's class and for this year. They have been open to trying to do all of these things. I mean, if you think about it, we're throwing these things that parents probably have never heard about. Why would they have if they haven't been in the education world? And they're doing it, and they're getting their student on, and they're making the effort there. So that is really, they deserve so much credit. So that's what we did last year. We did Class Dojo, and I would post daily videos. The difficulty with that would be that they would have to be under 8 minutes long, and getting the read aloud in, is it a full lesson or is it just to promote literacy? So what we really focused on is just keeping the reading aloud, the read alouds going, keeping the math fluency going, not necessarily going into new lessons that are in our manuals, but just maintaining what we had worked so hard to get. And I did find that most of my students were on and they were watching the videos and they were commenting. We also would have choice boards because we do know that they are 5 years old and they are capable of so much, but they shouldn't be on a computer or a device all the time. So what we did was we came up with, the kindergarten team came up with some activities like use chalk and write your numbers to 10, send us a picture. So the students had fun showing their learning in, you know, outside in the community, in their homes, with their family. What I think was really challenging, and I am so appreciative of the parents sticking it out with Class Dojo, is if you did miss a day, you would have to scroll back so far to find videos, or if they really loved a read aloud that we did 2 weeks ago, it would take you probably 20 minutes just to go back and find what we did. So this year we are now using Schoology, and for that purpose it is infinitely better, easier to find. And I think that parents, I would venture to guess that they are happier with that change.
Yeah, I know that's from my side of it, we saw like the real discrepancy with how Unified Classroom worked. And we knew that because back in October before COVID happened, the PowerSchool actually bought Schoology so that they can move their learning platform. Their update, instead of making a full-on update to it, was to just adopt Schoology. Which I think, yeah, there was a learning curve at the beginning, but I think it really fits exactly what we need for our students.
Absolutely. And I can't say that my students are navigating it independently. It is not, I don't view it really as a student resource, more as a parent resource. However, I do see, you know, through class or through Dino, I can see students when they're logging in. And I do see that some of them do, you know, they can get onto the app and they can find the schedule and click on the other resources that I post for practice at home. You know, they're not using that independently yet, but just the fact that they can get themselves on and click on our schedule that links them to our Zoom and they know those steps by now, I think is a big win for sure.
Yes, definitely. So one of the things that I know about kindergarten, and I'll admit, I don't know much since I only ever taught fifth grade, and at our school, we didn't get a chance to go and visit everybody's classrooms all the time, was that's really foundational for teaching how to read and teaching those skills. Over the spring and then into the school year, what have you guys done to really teach that? Because at least in the spring, you had a base to work with, that you had them for 5 or 6 months, however long it was. This school year with kindergartners, they're starting completely like you and I are now. So how have you taught that?
Now, this is something that I've thought about. Out of me. Oh, it keeps me up at night, every single night. I am, early literacy is my true above everything. And I love teaching mathematics, but that is my true passion, and it is scary to me. We know there is so much data that suggests that if students aren't reading at grade level in third grade, their chances of ever reading at grade level is lowered so much. So I think about that a lot and think about how can we set these students up to be as successful as possible. Of course, we can't change the situation we're in. Well, we can't change all of it, but we do, I think, what is really important that we have to realize is that we do have some power in how this goes down, right? Instead of thinking of, well, it is what it is, it's COVID, how can we teach reading groups? Moving from it is what it is to it is what I make it to be, I think is really important, because whether COVID happens or not, these students need to learn how to read, you know, later in life. Yes, we'll look back at this, that this was a challenging time, but students need to learn how to read. So what I've been doing and what my school has been doing, and has definitely not just been me, we've kept the reading block as similar as it is in person. So we are still doing reading groups. Of course, it does not go nearly as smoothly as it does in the classroom, but we're still doing reading groups, where small group reading. They are still doing centers. They are still doing their iReady reading. it has taken a lot longer than in the classroom to get those rotations down, because how it will work is I will have a group doing our reading group. Mrs. Bermudez, who is a paraprofessional in my classroom, she'll be working with a group, and then another group will be in independent breakout rooms. So they'll just be by themselves in a breakout room. And what we have done is we've given them go bags with centers pre-made in them. So they know that when they go into their breakout room, they need to take out their reading jobs, and they're working on their ABC flashcards, or they're working on their high frequency words. So some same things that we would be doing in the classroom, they just have individual copies of it. And also, I know that Scholastic Literacy Pro is a fabulous resource that gives books to kids. But what I know we've really been focusing on is equity. And everything we do, we are thinking, is this equitable? How can we make this more equitable? And what I found is that when I say take out a book, because there is something to be said about holding a physical book, especially when the standards that we are teaching is book handling. The website is fabulous to give access to thousands of books, but can they turn the page? I can't assess that unless they have a physical book. So when I say take out a book, and I have six or seven students looking at me saying, I don't have any at home, and I'm not saying this with any judgment, but we cannot assume that that is the case for all students. So what we've done is we've printed out books, I've bought in books, we've delivered them to the house. So now I can say that every student, when we say take out a book, they have a book. So I think just getting those resources, even though it takes longer and it takes a lot more work, it's so important, because how do you teach reading without books? It's hard enough to teach it in the classroom, but it's infinitely more difficult when the resources aren't there.
Wow, it sounds like you guys have really found a way to make what you do in the classroom be available to be online, especially with getting students access to books. I know that, like, there is something, I have my Kindle next to me when I'm rendering a video, I can sit and read for a moment because my computer's useless. Or I could go behind me, you can't see it with Moana there, but behind me, I have a bookshelf full of books too. And I just know how important that is, especially for the younger students who really, I mean, it's also tactile learning at the same time, because of the physically holding the book and having it there. That's really great, all the things that you guys are able to still do, even though you're miles away from each other. So one of the things that the district is looking at is the ability to start going hybrid. With kindergarten kind of being like a very key time, have you started to think about what that's going to look like for not just your reading block, but also the rest of your day, having some students on a computer and some students in front of you?
Yes, it is scary to me for sure. I am 100% in support of, I want to go back to school as long as it's safe enough. Mm-hmm. And you know, you hear with other schools, just the whole safety aspect is absolutely a concern. But besides that, which is huge, I am really eager to get back into the classroom, because there are so many things that I see in the day that I know how I would fix it if we were in the classroom. It's like, oh, okay, I would just sit next to this student and, you know, and by in a week, they'll know that letter. But it, the ability to just pull one student is not necessarily happening in this remote world, and it is so important to kindergarten. I think that is a lot of the learning that happens in kindergarten. Yes, we do our whole group lessons, they're really important, and a lot of content is shared that way, but I think that most of the learning is happening when you're in small groups, or when we're doing writing and I'm sitting next to this kid and getting them started and moving on to the next. That is where the individualized learning happens, and that is what kindergarten is. You need to meet the students where they are. There's no common exposure at this level. Some students have been to pre-K, not everyone has. Mm-hmm. And I know the first grade, I can imagine that remote is really challenging for them as well. But at least those students have some sort of common experience in kindergarten. They might not have a common mastery of all the skills, but they've been exposed to them. Mm-hmm. That really isn't the case in kindergarten. So having that in-person time to get to really know where this student is, and you know, just scaffolding, and I'm really excited for that. And beyond the academic part, socially, kindergarten is a time to learn how to share and to learn how to talk with people who are outside of your home. I'm excited to see that when we log on to Zoom, my students are talking to each other. They're calling each other by names. They'll call each other friends, which is really exciting. But when there aren't necessarily situations where sharing comes up, where they have to problem solve. And that is huge in kindergarten. So I'm just really excited at the chance that that might be happening, maybe at some point this year, so that they can have that time to practice those skills, because it seems to us that would be something that's natural or that happens always in the house, but that's not necessarily the case. They need time to practice those things.
It sounds like you're not afraid of like the schedule yo-yoing around, because I know with some schools, they started back in person, then they went off, and then they're back, and then they're off, and then they're back, then they're off. Like, do you think that kind of shifting is going to negatively or positively affect your kindergartners, the sense of schedule just changing on the drop of a dime?
Yeah, I'm certainly not looking forward to that part of it. But to be honest with you, I think that probably is more of a problem for the adults and the teachers, which is valid as well. But what I found is these kids are so resilient and they do love school so much that I think that they would be just excited to be there. But again, the adults and the parents too, I can imagine that being so difficult that they, you know, maybe have daycare, they have a center set up and then they don't need it. And then they do need it. I can only imagine the nightmare that would be, but through the perspective of the student, I think that they would really be okay with that. They've been so flexible thus far. Mm-hmm. But there is something to be said about, we have our schedule down. Our students know what to expect every day now. They know what time to log on. They know after lunch that they have to go on iReady and come back. So I am hesitant to mess with that, because we've worked really hard to get that schedule down.
Yeah, I can see that. So instead of doom dwelling here about the what ifs, let's hear about some of the things that have been really successful this spring or fall. We're in the fall now, I think, or winter. I don't know which anymore. Been in our house for so long. So what are some things that have been really successful with your students, or that have made you like, I'll have those beaming moments where you just have to tell everybody about what happened at school today?
What I'm most proud of my students, figuring out our center rotation. Now, it took a long time. It wasn't just like magic that it worked. But when the idea came up that we would still be doing rotations and kids would be in their own independent rooms and they wouldn't be coming back to the whole group and they wouldn't get lost and be scared that they're by themselves, the idea made me twitch, to be honest with you. I was like, no way is this going to work, but it is happening now. And I am proud of that, because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing too. They're not just in their breakout room doing whatever they want, watching TV, and then, oh, we have to come back. Because on Dino, you know, you can watch what they're doing. I see them taking out their centers and their work, and they're doing their job. And when they come back, they're like, can I show you what job I was working on? So just that, the fact that something that I thought that was so impossible is happening, and it's happening every day, and they are taking ownership of what they're doing and the tasks they're completing, it makes me so happy. I think also the go bags themselves with the materials in them has given me maybe even a better way to meet students where they are, since I am making a bag for every student. Every student's bag is different. Like, I know you are working on writing your name, but you're working on reading sentences. So it's really given me the chance. It's actually forced me to think about each student. I have to handpick some jobs for them. Why would I give them all the same reading job or the math job? So yes, it's taken a lot of time to make those and to really think about what they need. But I do think in ways I know my students more than I did even when we were in the classroom.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've actually heard a lot of teachers say, is that they feel like they know their students better because of having to do school this way versus in the classroom.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to take that back when we do go back, hopefully sooner than later, even if it's in next fall. I'm excited to take the things that I've learned and to use them in the classroom to make it just even better.
Well, that was going to be my next question is, when we do go back in person, how much of the stuff that you've been doing now, like, are you going to keep doing? Because, I mean, you're in person, so you don't necessarily need to do Zoom meetings every day. But
yeah, it won't be quick for me to bring that one back. But I think that for sure, just my mentality, I think, is what shifted the most of realizing how much they can do on the computer. So I know we used to wait a few weeks before we even introduced laptops, but this year has proven we don't need to. We can, they are ready and able to do that. Of course, I know that parents are supporting a lot and I am so appreciative of that, but it's just really showing us that they can do that. And the Scholastic Literacy Pro, when we were in the school, I waited until about halfway through the year before that was a part of their center rotation. You could read at the library or you could go online. I think that from what I know now of how easy, well, not easy, but how quickly they can learn to use those applications, I will introduce them sooner. And another huge thing I think is communication with parents. I don't think that I ever thought that I wasn't communicating with parents a lot, but I certainly never have communicated with parents more frequently and in more ways than I do right now. And I hope, you know, it's my goal that even when we do go back in person, that level of communication, I maintain that. Because I think that the students are better for it, the parents are better for it, and certainly the school is better for it.
Absolutely. And your school has always been pretty good about using technology and working with parents. Because if I remember correctly, 2 years ago now, you guys started with doing, I don't know if you're still doing it, but like the Talmadge nightly read aloud or something like that. I can't remember the name of it, but I know that was a big thing.
Yes. We right now have paused that. And I think, of course, with Mrs. Trotta, Ms. Sands and all of that, I cannot only imagine the amount of time that took them. And on top of what we're doing right now, I am certain that is probably the reason, but I'm hopeful that when we do get back into school and that we get to do that again, because I know this, they loved it. They would come in, like, when are you going to read? And they would have, they rented a lot. They had a little library where you could rent the books from that were included in the YouTube videos. And they always wanted to sign the books out. So it definitely was a great idea. And, Elena and Brianna did such a great job putting it all together.
Yeah. So I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I know we're in the middle of the school day, but I do have probably, in my opinion, the most important question. And that is, as teachers, we need to be taking care of ourselves. I know for many of us, we don't do a good job of that when we're in person. And now when we're remote and easily accessible all the time, it's even more important. So what are some things that you're doing that we can help encourage other teachers to think about trying for themselves to take care of themselves?
I certainly would be a huge hypocrite if I did not say that this is something I'm certainly not the best at, but I am trying to get better. And one thing that I found this year especially is that a lot of times we are getting emails of things to try. And I don't know about you, but a lot of educators, myself included, I followed, especially like when we heard that we were starting Schoology, I'm like, okay, I'm going to follow this Facebook page that has all these ideas. And I'm going to look it up on Pinterest. And I'm going to look at all of these resources that people are telling me to look at and try all of the things. So I since have deleted all of those groups that I am in, because it is just too much. You know, there's definitely collaboration is a good thing, and taking a look at what other teachers are doing is a good thing. But as soon as it becomes, I saw this is great, I need to try this, and it is a spiral of hours of getting ideas and when am I going to find time to do all this? I think just telling yourself it is okay to not try it all. you know, just do your best mm-hmm. with what you have. Maybe look at one resource, maybe look at two resources, and that's it. You don't need to look at 50 of them. It's okay to delete that email. At least that's what I've been trying to do.
Yeah, I know that, especially with Schoology, like when, because we had a very quick turnaround on that. And we were looking at, from our department, looking at things and seeing everyone's like, oh, Bitmoji this and Bitmoji that. And my first reaction was, this is too much work. I never won those arguments, but I always said that it was too much. Like, just keep it simple. So
yeah,
I understand exactly what you're talking about, because Pinterest can be a down spiral. Mm-hmm. So that is something awesome to remember. So, well, thank you for your time. Hopefully you'll have a good rest of your day and enjoy some more of your centers and other learning activities that you're doing with your students.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh man, hopefully you guys were inspired by this time that you got to hear from her. I know I definitely was. I don't know if I would jump into the year of magic that she calls it, because quite frankly, kindergartners scare me. I have young ones at home, so I have a little idea of what it's like, but I imagine having 20 to 30 little ones in front of you is just making me take some sighs and deep breaths right now thinking about it. But I am so excited that she is doing the work that she is, and all the other kindergartner teachers around the district who are doing yeoman's work right now as we are in this remote environment. So as you heard, she did talk about a little bit of the CS for All work that she's been doing, which later on this year, we'll have another podcast out with other teachers who are part of CS for All, where we focus the whole conversation on CS for All. And you heard all about the tools that she uses. I'm going to link to some of them in the show notes below, wherever you're listening to this podcast. So I'm really excited for her to be able to just continue the great work that she is doing. So again, Catherine, thank you for this time. As we wrap up today, I just want to thank you all for listening. If you liked this interview, or if you've liked this podcast and you haven't done so yet, I encourage you to go out to wherever you listen to the podcast and leave us a rating and review. That's how others can find out about what we're doing in the district and all the great things that are happening. So you can find that on wherever you listen to devices, whether that's Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes. We are so thankful that you have taken time to listen to us. Make sure that you're a subscriber and leave us a review, share it. There's great easy share buttons on every platform you listen to podcasts on, so I highly encourage you to use that. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another interview that is awesome, and then after that, we'll dive into the Digital Learner Playbook a little bit more, and then you'll hear a really awesome interview with a bunch of teachers and students on a great project that a school is doing. Be on the lookout for those things. Don't forget, you can also find information on us on our blogs, whether it's my personal blog, beardedtechedguy.com, or the WeLearn blog website. You can find a lot of great information there. In the past week, we posted out there my 5 tips with using Microsoft Edge, plus a few other things that are also pretty awesome with it too. I am Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy, and this is the SPS Digital Learning Hour. This episode is written, directed, produced, edited by Mike Thomas from the Digital Learning and Assessment Department. Music is provided by Risen, You can find them out on SoundCloud. Check out our show notes below for more information.